starting a new year off and already on Revi. So we all know the story, the original sin, and today we're going to talk about the consequences. Adam and Chava become aware of the fact that they're naked. It's not a good situation. God dresses them. It's the original story of Lord and Taylor. And the Torah says, chapter 4, verse 22. Vayomer Hashem Elikim. The Lord God says, Hein ha'odom hoya ka'achad mimenu. So now the human, he's like one of us. Ladas tevara, to know the difference between good and evil. Viata, now, pen yishlach yodei, lest he stretch forth his hand, v'lokach gam eitzechayim, and take also from the tree of life. He's taken from the tree of knowledge. He knows between good and bad now. He has a sense of self-consciousness. If he stretches forth his hand and takes in the tree of life, va'ochal v'chay lo'olam, then he eats and he lives forever. So what does this mean? Hoya ka'achad mimenu. It's one of us. What does this mean? So Rashi says, harehu yochid, the human is unique b'tachtonim, in the lower or terrestrial worlds. K'moy sha'ani yochid, just as the Almighty God, the Creator, is unique b'alyonim, in the higher reality. And what makes the human being so unique? The fact that there was only one human being created? Is that the emphasis? That was before also. So Rashi says, now he has the awareness, now he has the sapience, now he has the self-consciousness, ladas tovera, to know good and bad. And because he has the ability to know good and bad, masha enken, v'behema v'chaya, this is very different than the consciousness that animals are endowed with. And because the human being has a different kind of consciousness now, so now we are in serious danger. So va'ata pen yishlach yadei, maybe he sends forth his hand and eats from the tree of life. Umisha yichya le'olam, and then if he lives for eternity, harehu karev lahate sabriyas acharav. So then the animals begin to think that afhu elahad, that he is also a god. Yes, Medrashe Agoda, there are many agadic interpretations about this, what it means that he would be like one of us. But they do not kind of fit the straightforward meaning. So since they don't fit the straightforward meaning, Rashi is not going to quote them, because ultimately Rashi is the master of Pshutoy Shel Mikra, straightforward meaning. If it doesn't fit the straightforward meaning, then it doesn't get to make it into Rashi's commentary. Rashi's commentary is always Pshutoy Shel Mikra. So he has to figure out, what does it mean that the human being would say he's like one of us? How would he be a god? And essentially, what Rashi says is the fact that he has this awareness and this consciousness. If he lives forever, so then people, not people, but creatures begin to think or ascribe sort of a divinity to him. And God doesn't want that. Even though this is the story of human anthropology, ascribing divinity to things which are not divine and worshiping things which are not supposed to be worshipped, but this is the danger from the very beginning, and Hashem says that's not a good thing. So therefore, something's got to change. And here we focus on the aftermath, the consequence of the original sin. The Torah goes on to say in verse 23, Vayishalcheihu Hashem Elikim Migan Eden. As such, because there is this proverbial tree of life that's found in the Garden of Eden, God sends him, drives him out of the Garden of Eden. And he does so, Lave des Ha'adoma, so that he might work the land, asher lukach misham, that he is taken from. So Rashi doesn't say anything here. And on a simple level, there isn't really any question. There's a problem of him being in the garden, because if he's in the garden, he might take from the fruit of the tree of life, and then he lives forever, as Rashi said. So therefore, he has to be driven away. Now, the thing is this. Vayishalchehu sounds like he was sent away, not driven away. It's not a sharp language. It's not like he was kicked out per se. He was sent off. A shliach, an agent, an emissary, an ambassador. It could be a good thing. It could have a positive ring to it. So how do we understand the business of Vayishalchehu? So the Ibn Ezra says that the fact that it says Vayishalchehu, In the way that it says there's a, so to speak, Vayishalcheihu Hashem Elikim Migan Eden. He's sent away from Gan Eden. So this tells you that it's like a gerush, that it's like being driven away. Why? Because being sent, according to Ibn Ezra, usually indicates, it's a verb that indicates you're being sent to. You're not being sent away from. It's like when you leave the city to go to a journey elsewhere, you're going to. You're not being sent from. But if you're sent from, then there's a problem with your being there. So therefore this Vayishacheo becomes Lashon Gnai according to Ibn Ezra. In other words, Vayishacheo itself, the word itself, is not necessarily negative, but the fact that it says Vayishacheo Migan Eden, that indicates the concept of Gnai. And the Radak says that Vayishacheo could have a positive ring to it, but it doesn't have a positive ring here. This is a Shiluach of Gerush, a shiluach of being driven away. At any rate, that's what the next Pasuk says. In Pasuk Chav Dalet it says, Vayigoresh Esa Adam. The human was driven out. And the Torah goes on to tell us that the way back was barred. The door was locked. The path was obstructed. Vayashkein Mikedem L'Gan Eden. God caused to dwell or be in the eastern direction of Gan Eden Esa Kruvim, the cherubs. This is the first time cherubs are mentioned in the Torah. The Ace Lahat HaCherev, and the glistening or the shining rotating sword, HaMesapeches, which rotates, Lishmer Es Derech Etzachayim, so as to prevent the human from retracing its steps and going back into the Etzachayim, going back into the area, the way towards the tree of life. So here it's very interesting. The first time it says, Vayishalcheihu, and then we have to like infer that because it says Vayishalcheihu Migan Eden, that he's being driven away. But doesn't say that. Doesn't say that he was being driven. But the next pasuk says, Vayigoresh, he was driven out. Now, where is Mikedem L'Gan Eden? So Rashi says, B'mizrach Yishal Gan Eden, in the eastern direction of Gan Eden. In other words, it's not in Gan Eden, not in the Garden of Eden itself. Chutz L'Gan, outside of the garden. Now, what are Keruvim? We think of the word cherubic in English seems to have an angelic or sweet ring to it. However, Rashi tells us that here, Keruvim mim malachi chabola, destructive angels. And they wield the cherev and sapeches, the rotating sword. Rashi says, the law, lahat, and this sword has a shine to it. It glistens, it shines. Ula ayim, this comes to instill fear. Milikones oid legan, so that the human would not attempt to retrace its steps and go back into the garden. Rashi says that the targum, that the unkelus' rendering of the word lahat, is shenan. The word shenan is like the shining of the sword. Kemoi shlaf shenona. Like it says, the flash of a sword. Ubaloshen over there means the flash of the spear. Ubaloshen is laz. Here Rashi gives us an old French word, and he says it means lama, and I don't know what that means. Umedesh agada, there are, once again, Rashi says many different medesh agada, because why would angels need a flashing or a rotating sword? He says, I only come for the simple straight meaning. So you want to know what lahata mesapeches means. You want to know what the sword is. This is the sword, and it has a shine to it. And that's what it means on a literal level. And the other midrashic stuff, which is not, doesn't address the literal meaning, Rashi doesn't get involved with. All right, let's go back to this business. So by the way, the keruvim, Reb Sadia Gaon says just keruvim means angels. That's all. The word cherubim means angels. Period. Rashi says no, malachi kabbalah. It can't just be angels. That wouldn't work out. The Chizkuni says they were tsuris mafchides. They were terrifying looking images. So really, even before the sword came along, you'd be afraid. And now with a sword too, you're for sure afraid to go and trace the steps back. Now, the thing is this. Rashi doesn't say that they were mafchides, because if they were a terrifying image, what would you get a sword for? They'd scare you straight anyway. But the fact that there was also the cherubim and there's also this rotating sword, so therefore we have to say that it was only because of the sword that they would not be able to retrace their steps back. Rabbeinu Bechaya says these are the malachim who are responsible for Gan Eden, for the Garden of Eden. What exactly this means, nobody really knows, because I mean, Gan Eden seems to have a physical location. We seem to know approximately, you know, I don't know, somewhere in Iraq. So many of the Euphrates. But of course, what does that mean? Google Earth hasn't managed to capture a picture of it, so maybe it's not Maybe it's not so physical. Maybe it's like radio waves, photons. I don't know. At any rate, the interesting thing is that in verse 24, it says, verse 23, it says, Vayishalcheyu, and he was sent out. But verse 24 says, Vayigarish, he was driven out. So which was it? And why does the Torah have to repeat itself? If the Torah wanted to use the term Vayigarish, being driven out, why wouldn't it use that term in verse 23? Why did it change in verse 24? And what was added in verse 24 that wasn't already conveyed in verse 23? It would seem that the words Vayishalcheyu, especially as Ibn Ezra renders it, since it being sent Migan Eden, he was sent from Gan Eden. Okay, so he was already sent away. So why do you have to emphasize a second time, a verse later, that he was sent away? So the Rekeach has a very unique way of learning this. He says that Adam and Chava got the boot, and what did they try to do? They right away try to go back. They got kicked out, try to go back. So Hashem said, Vayigarish, he drove them out. And this time drove them out, and that's why only in verse 24 does it say that he placed Vayashkein Esakruvim, that he placed the angels there to guard the way so they wouldn't be able to retrace their steps. So according to the Rekeach, there was actually a second sending, if you will, or being driven out even more furiously than the first time. But there really isn't an indication of this. It would be Ha'ikir Chasser and Asefer, as they say. Everything would be missing, because it doesn't say, it says God drove them out, and he sent them off, and then it says he drove them out. It doesn't say, and they tried to retrace their steps, so God drove them out again. It doesn't say, Vayigarish Sheinis, they were driven out a second time. It just says Vayigarish. So it's very hard to come with that approach on a midrashic level. Maybe it works, but not in Pshutish or Mikra. The Ibn Ezra says, when they were driven out, it's like the narrative, it's like matter-of-factly. Vayishalcheyu was what happened, they were sent away. And then verse 24 says, at the time of them being driven out, Vayashkein, that's when God caused the Keruvim to be there so as to protect the way. But that doesn't really read so straightforwardly, because the Vayigarish is Vayishalcheyu, and they were sent away, and Vayigarish, and they were driven away. So here's an interesting Zohar. We'll see how this fits with the Pshut HaShul Mikra. It doesn't seem to fit. In page Tzadik Dalet, Simen Mem, maybe it's the 45th entry of the Beauty of Chumash on Bereishis. We have a quote of the Zohar Chelek Aleph. And the Zohar says like this, based on the second verse, on verse 24, Vayigarish HaSa'adah, the person was driven out. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says like this, Lo yodano man ovid trichun leman. Who divorced who? It's not clear. Who sent who? Ikut shebricha ovid trichun leadam. If the Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be He, divorced the person, ilav. If not, avol mila is hapich. However, the word can be, so to speak, transposed. It says vayigoresh es haadam. Vayigarish es means, doesn't say Vayigarish ha'adam. Doesn't say the person was driven out. It's Vayigarish es ha'adam. And the person was driven out. So what does the es mean? Es daika. Man girish es. Who drove es out? Es zda. Who drove the out? Ha'adam, the person. Ha'adam, the Zohar says, ha'adam vada girish es. The person for sure drove it. The it. The person drove it or the out. And that's why it says, Vayishalcheyu Hashem Elikim Migan Eden. It's why it says, Hashem sent the person away. Amai Vayishalcheyu. Why did he send him away? Begin to get a shot of mess. The person divorced God, so God sent him away. He drove God away. You drove me away, God says, I'll send you away. So the truth is, the way the Zohar understands this or explains it, it's like totally inverted. Up until the Zohar, you read verse 23 and 24. Who's sending who away? The person's being driven away because of his sin. God sends him away. Sends him, or drives him, or divorces him. And the Zohar comes, no. The person divorced God. Because the person divorced God, that's where God sent him away. So the Rebbe says, you know, the Zohar seems to have difficulty, like challenge with the word Vayigarish es ha'adam. Vayigarish es ha'adam means, and the person was sent away, or Vayigaresh es ha'adam. It was sent. Who sent him? Ha'adam. That's where you put the comma. This is Vayigadosh Es Adam Kama, or Vayigadosh Es, he sent him away. Who? Ha'adam, the person sent him away. That seems to be the question of the Zohar. Did the Holy One, blessed be He, drive the person away? Or a heper? Was it the other way around? What's the maskana? What's the Zohar's resolution? The Zohar's conclusion is, sheyesh lahapich es hamilim, that we should invert the words. Ulefarish, and we should explain, sheha'adam hu shegirish es hashchina, that it was the person who sent away. It was the human who drove away the Shechina. And that's the meaning of vayigarish es, it. The is a kinoi, is a euphemism for the Shechina. V'lochein nenash, and that's why he was later punished, begirish shemegan eden, because the person drove God away, that's why God sent him away. So this is not the simple meaning. L'cheira divrei hazohar tumuim, the words of the Zohar are quite astonishing. Shahari borur, it's very clear, shemashmos hakosov, he, that the intimation of the verse here is, shahakadosh baruch hu, hu shegirish es ha'odom egan eden. It's clear that God, in fact, sent the person out of Gan Eden, not the other way around. But the Zohar comes like with this question, who drove who away? And the Zohar seems to want to understand the words Vayigarish Es, he sent him away, comma, who sent who away? Ha'adam, the person is the driver. Person's not in the driver's seat, God's in the driver's seat. The person made the wrong choice. The person chose to eat from the fruit of the forbidden tree. So God drove him away. The aftermath is the consequence of sin. But that's not the way the Zohar explains it. The Zohar says, the person chose to drive God away. You drove God away, and then God sent you too. So we have to understand, how do we square the Zohar with what seems to be the straightforward understanding of these verses, as any child would read these verses and understand them to mean God drove Adam and Chava, not the other way around. V'yesh lefarish. So the Rebbe fascinatingly suggests, shebevadai ein hazoy harbola chalek al mashmoy sapshuta. By the way, this is not Kabbalah. Not everything in the Zohar is Kabbalah. A tremendous amount of material in the Zohar is essentially Medrash. It's Midrashic interpretation. But Midrashic interpretation does not mean totally non-literal. There's still a story. There's a narrative that's going on here. There was people did a sin. There's an aftermath. There's a consequence. God drove them away. It's not as if the Zohar is talking here in Kabbalistic jargon that we can't understand. The Zohar is giving us an interpretation, an explanation of how we should read these words, where you place the comma, who drove who away. It's a pshat-oriented Zohar. So the Rebbe suggests, in a very creative and a new look at things, that the Zohar here does not dispute the straightforward meaning. There is no doubt Shachadosh Baruch Hu Girish Esa Adam Egan Eden. There's no doubt that God drove the person out of Gan Eden. That's not a question. Humanity was driven out, as we learned to Vayishalcheu, when you're sent, but you're sent Mi Gan Eden, with the Mem, as Ibn Ezra says, that indicates that they were driven. It's not they weren't sent on some high mission. God said, I have a mission for you. I have a job for you to do here. Why don't you go and move somewhere else? They were driven away. There's no question about that. So what is the Zohar saying then? What is the Zohar saying when it talks about who sent who away? So the Rebbe suggests the following. He said the Zohar is not addressing the actual fact of whether humanity was driven from paradise. But rather, the Zohar is addressing the goyrim, the cause. What was the cause of this change? Humanity was created and was settled into paradise. And then humanity was driven from paradise. So this, the notion of this being driven from paradise, what was the driver? What drove the driving away?
Sin.
Well, this is obviously sin, right? That's the narrative. Humanity misbehaves, they get sent away. What is the Rebbe trying to, was he getting at? So bir hadvar, ba'ein she'ateira, and the punishments, which we could say the consequences, the wages of sin in teira, matzinu shnei sugim, we find two very different realities, two very different kinds of dimensions. Yeshna einshim, there are consequences, or punishments, wages of sin. She'im teitzo tivis shalachet, this is the natural result of sin. resultant of certain behavior, will come a certain reality. Kach, shebemaisa haveira, that when a person, through the act of sin, mevi alatz meisa einish, you bring the consequence. In other words, you create this reality. You make the bed, you sleep in it. You created this reality. Kamesha Kosov, like there's a famous expression that's found in the beginning of the prophecies of Jeremiah, who says, Tiyasreka re'ascha, your own evil will serve as so to speak, to chastise you. You'll be chastened by your own evil. You're creating this reality. This is what we call in the parlance of the Talmud, mida k'neged mida, a measure for a measure. You engender this. You bring it in, you bring its reality to the fore. And then there's a kind of punishment. Sha'einish eini tetzah tivis. It's not what we would call a natural consequence. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu minish asadam. God says you did A, B, and C. I will punish you with X, Y, and Z. But not because it's a natural consequence. This is the way I am going to respond. You did something wrong, I will respond with punishing you. Meblishi and Nikar HaKesha, you may not see the link or connection between the Einish and between the Aveda, between the punishment and between the sin. They're not necessarily a natural consequence. This isn't a domino effect. This is exactly what the Zohar is questioning. The Zohar is questioning the aftermath of original sin. Was it a natural consequence, or was it divine retribution? How do we understand it? Kishehizra HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa Adam, shalo yechol meitz hadas. When God warned Adam and Chava, do not eat from that tree. Amar lei, he said, ki bayoyim acholcha mimenu, the day you'll eat from it, what will the consequence be? Mais Thomas, you will surely die. It's not different than saying, what happens if you eat cyanide? What's the answer? You die. That's the nature. What happens if I lead an unhealthy lifestyle? What happens if I eat fatty foods and drink bottles of whiskey and smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day? You'll die. It's not a punishment of your bad habits. It's the natural consequence of bad habits. That's what happens. You're going to destroy the machine. This machine wasn't built to take that kind of abuse. Kiloimar, in other words, Sha'ainish Hativi, that the natural consequence, Sheyigarim Ayadei Chet, Hu Miso. You see, life comes from the source of life, which is God. Sin separates us from God. So the natural consequence of sin is the opposite of life. If life comes from Hashem, and when a person cuts himself, chas v'shalom, off from Hashem, or creates a barrier between him and Hashem, so what will happen? Then you won't live anymore. The absence of life is the natural consequence of sin. Ach b'poyel eschadish kan einish neisef. But in fact, that's not what happens. Ha'adam lehuzer olav. The person was never warned, if you'll eat from those fruits, you'll be driven from paradise. So the question then is, what kind of punishment is this? Is it the natural consequence? Is the privilege of paradise removed because of sin? Or does God say, you disobeyed me? Now you will lose the privilege of living in paradise. Which one is it? And this is exactly, the Rebbe suggests, what the Zohar was asking all along. Is it a teitzah tivis shalachet? Is it the natural consequence? Or shahachet gorem, Rakla Einishal Misa. The chet itself would have caused the opposite of life. That's what sin does. That's the natural consequence. Ve'ilo hagirish min gan Eden. This is an Einish Nesav. This is not the natural consequence. This is something else. This is a separate punishment. God says, you ate. Hashem is merciful. Judged Adam and Chava in a merciful way, which is Rosh Hashanah, the first day of humanity's existence was a day of judgment. How did we get judged that day? Mercifully. Every year Rosh Hashanah, we hope that God will judge us again mercifully as he judged Adam and Chava. He did not give them the punishment he said he would. They were treated with mercy in ways they didn't deserve. And we hope Hashem has judged us in ways we don't deserve, given us beyond what we have actually earned. But there was a consequence. So the consequence was something that came later on. But was this consequence not the natural consequence, not the result of. So the Zohar begins with saying, "Vayigaresh es ha'adam," that this is, the Rebbe says, this is what's driving the Zohar's commentary. When it says "Vayigaresh es ha'adam," the words "es ha'adam" seem entirely superfluous. It's redundant. We know this is talking about the person that's being driven away, because verse 23 already told us, "Vayishalcheu Hashem elikim megan eden." There is nobody else here. Who's getting sent away? The lions, the tigers, the snakes. That's the narrative. The narrative is the person. The person sins, the person is being driven away. So what do you have to say? Vayigaresh es ha'adam. In verse 23, it simply said, Vayishalcheu. It didn't say, Vayishlach es ha'adam. So why does verse 24 have to say, Vayigaresh es ha'adam? Why are you mentioning the person? This is the question of the Zohar. Harayidua lanu kvar. We know already it's talking about the Adam. It should have simply said, just like it says Vayishalcheu, it should have simply said Vayigarasheu. So from this we can understand, as the Zohar comments, Shaha Adam, who shegirish? Who is the driver? Who drove who? Who drove whose presence away? The person drove God away. And therefore, we should understand that there's a remez, that there's something being alluded to. Sheha Adam, Girish Hashkina, the person with his bad choices chose the presence to drive the presence of God away. And the presence of God is alluded to with S. It's not the essence of divinity. So we know that S is the terminology of Tafel, secondary. It's a secondary thing. Bekach meramez hakosov, here the scripture is indicating to us, shegidish ha'odem megan eden hitetzah tivis. This is the natural result. This is the natural consequence. It's a midah keneged midah. Humanity drove God's presence away. He drove the Shekhinah away. The result is that humanity is driven away from paradise, from being close to the Shekhinah. We drove God away. And so we were driven away from the place that naturally reflects the presence of God. In other words, what's important for us to know right in the beginning, from the original sin, that in the end, it is the evil that we create through our bad choices that we have to contend with. And for the most part, it's midah keneged midah. You behave well, you do the right thing, you create a good reality. You chas v'shalom behave rebelliously, you go against Hashem, we engender, we cause. The consequence is the negativity that we have to face. Hashem should help us make only the right choices. And we should engender good things. And of course, the result of all the mitzvahs we're doing and the Torah we're studying will very soon be the coming of Mashiach. From Hader, Ubi Meinu.